Good morning, good morning. How are we all doing? There's a bit of an echo in my head. Clear it. Yeah, it's the Boer War again, the metal plate in my head. You all know about that, so anyway. It's great to be here again. Wonderful worship, amazing God. I mean, great revelation of His love for us. And He is faithful. And we get to mess up every now and then, but He remains the same. And constant and forever faithful. So last week we started the series called Clearing the Minefield. And for those if you weren't here, those little landmines in there, and I explained all that. You should get to listen to the tape and see how that works. And we started, and one of the deep scriptures we looked at was Colossians 3:2, which says, "Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth." And we looked at what the subject was, what minds your mind? What minds have you got in your mind? And we looked at things like poor self-image and our past, how our past tries to dictate our future, and how society tries to dictate our future and where we're going and what we're doing. And then of course, the big one is always the devil's accusations. The devil loves to accuse and lie. And we came with the whole thing that it all starts with a thought. It's always a thought that comes into our head, and we start with that thought. And I don't think I gave credence to it last week, but and I used a number of ideas from a guy called Dave Burns from his book called The Feeling Good Handbook. And it's about cognitive distortions and how we looked at some of that. And I know that all sounds like really big stuff, but rather let's go to the Bible. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. And this morning, we're going to look at... We are going to look at... Helps if I switch it on. Choosing the right thought direction. Choosing the right thought direction. And sometimes we, as I've said, it starts with the thought, and sometimes we can let that thing warp, and we end up in another area altogether, and we sort of, you know, you wonder, having slipped down a dark alley, and you go, well, how did I end up here? I think you use the same expression here that we do in South Africa. It's a French word called cul-de-sac. We all know what a cul-de-sac is. Directly translated from Afrikaans, it means straat loop dood, which means street walks dead. And I know it's very flowery language. And where we end up sometimes in a cul-de-sac in life, and we don't know how we got there and why we are there, but we need to learn to choose the right thoughts that help us. Remember this, Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And I think King James says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And we looked at you last week and we said, and this is going to be a theme through the whole thing, you'll never change your life until you change the way you think. And that's why we're talking about being expectant. And we used last week, metanoia, mean I'm going in a different direction. I think differently. I know when I got saved, Bridget realized I thought differently, because I went home and I did the most unusual thing I would ever do. It was fall and I went outside and I swept the driveway. What was I thinking? I don't know. She said to me, "What are you doing? Are you losing it?" I said, "Why?" She says, "You're sweeping the driveway." I said, "Yeah, I know." And now I'm so excited to be able to shovel it every now and then. Yeah. You know, when we started out and looking at this whole thing, and last week Kevin prayed it in the pre-service prayer meeting, and it just grabbed my heart. And we always, it's beginning of a year, and that's why we're doing this little series. And it starts with a thought, and we think of it, and we come about with New Year resolutions. But what we need is new revelation about things. And we credit that to Kevin. The problem with New Year's resolutions, we always start from the outside in. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to go to the gym and buff up, and I'm going to cycle and run and swim and do a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'm going to cut down on sugar, and I'm going to cut this down. And that's all wonderful and good and healthy and nice stuff, but it's from the outside in. I'm talking about starting from the inside out. And that's why we want to start with our heads, because when we get our heads at Romans 12, 1 and 2, when we get that right, we get a revelation and we go, aha moment, or a wow moment. Because as we've said many times, this is the devil's playground, and he puts stuff in here. And I know yesterday, let's get on for this week. And so let's go. Where did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you're going to read from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. If you're not the kind of person to write in your Bible, underline that one. Divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And let's just stop reading there, and we'll stop there. Yeah. We have to wage the right war. There's no point in waging a war when we don't know what war we're fighting. When we're fighting against something, we go, well, why are we all here? And I mean, I used a little bit of our expression when I was a youngster, and we had to go and clear the mines out of the road where the terrorists had laid the mines. If you asked any average South African soldier why we were in Angola, why we were fighting there, our best answer, we would say, well, we're fighting communism. We really didn't know what we were doing there. I mean, we were only 18 years old to start off with. And I mean, we just pointed in the direction and said, go. And I think sometimes when we're fighting wars, we don't know why we're fighting them. But we need a revelation to know why we're fighting them. Our strengths and our abilities have nothing to do with spiritual warfare. Well, I can do this and I can do that. And what's that new thing everybody doing? Pakwa? Is that how you say it? Pakwa, these youngsters, I don't know if you've seen them. I mean, they're amazing. They can flip over things and jump over buildings and through hoops and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't help us in spiritual warfare. Yes. We need to understand that we all, including me, have strongholds. And what is a stronghold? It's a fortress that has been set up. It's an area that we continually battle with. And they're different. And you know, I'm not going to ask you, but you know what your stronghold is and what you have to battle against. And it's an area in our lives that we appear with difficulty to try and overcome, or never have got the victory in that area. And we go round and round in circles, and we always come back to that same thing. That's what is a stronghold. It's a fortress. It's a military term. But the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, that we have divine powers to overcome our strongholds. It says we destroy arguments. Well, what does it talk? Well, it means that we have the divine power, and the divine powers are the Word of God and prayer and the guidance and the truth that the Holy Spirit leads us into and shows us His way and how we can best overcome that and work through that. And so we see that we destroy arguments, philosophies, reasoning, and the schemes of the world. The second thing it says, lofty opinions. Sometimes we have lofty opinions about ourselves. Pride, self-centeredness, anything that's developed on self. Anything that we take and we control and we say, well, this is me, I can do this. You know, a friend of mine was a 33-degreed Freemason. And he got saved and miraculously delivered. And that's it. Now I can do this thing. And they said to him, you know, we this house has got, is haunted. It's got spooks in it. It's got ghosts in it. And there's evil stuff happening. Can you come and sort it out? He said, I can do this. I know what I'm doing. And I can only tell you, he was a good friend of mine, so I have no reason to believe anything else. And he went in there, and he was Sunday, Monday, and in my power, I can do this, and I'm the man for the power for the hour. And he said all of a sudden he had a picture of himself staring down at the room, and there was a force, and he was 6'3", and double me, and he was held up in the corner of the room, looking down into this room. And the voice said to him, "So you can do this?" And then he learned the scripture, James 4:7, very quickly. He ran out of there and he said, "That is the weirdest thing that ever happened to me in my life." And he learned James 4:7, "Therefore, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil and he will flee." We just want to resist. Well, I'm going to resist the devil, and this is my warfare, this is my power. No, it was, is, and will always be Jesus' power. It never is ours. The next thought captive carries on against the knowledge of God. Every idea or scheme that leads to disobedience. That's what it's all about. The whole thing, the whole premise that Paul is talking about is that we have all this, we have this divine power, we have these amazing things that we can do spiritual warfare in order for us to be obedient to God. And that's the premise of it. And the point is, how do we recognize bad thoughts and countermeasures do we have? You know, once you've taken some ground, once you've taken in a battle, if you take the hill, is that, I know I use it a lot, Vimy Ridge, if you, all Canadians, at least the guys here should have read that book. And everybody else tried to take this ridge called Vimy Ridge. And eventually they said to the Canadians, who at that time never had a professional army, just so you don't know, said, no, we want the Canadians to go. And they said, just go and sort of hold the area. And the Canadians said, hold the area, nothing. We're going to take that thing and we're going to destroy it and we're going to claim it for ourselves. And they did. And the point is, when we do that, then we have to be on guard duty. You can't just claim it and, okay, let's all go to sleep now. And I think that's the problem. Sometimes we have a victory and we say we've won the victory and then we go to sleep. We have to remain on guard duty. We have to be awake and say, once we've gained the hill, the town, the city, in our case, our mind, when we've won that battle, we have to be on active guard duty. Amen? Good. You're allowed to say that. Guarding the battleground. Okay. Number one, guard your mind against lies. There's two kinds of lies. First one is lies we create ourselves. And I'm not even talking about that where we purposefully lie or we just, well, I'll just tell a little white lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. It's called an inexactitude. It means that I've told a false thing. And when I say lies that we create for ourselves, most of them never ever come true. They are the devil's best images for us to put us in a case or state of stress. He said he'd be home at 5:00. He's not home at 5:00. Therefore, he must have had an accident along the way. I wonder how badly damaged the car is. I wonder how badly damaged he is. How for other people. And we've now created this little lie in our head, and we go down the rabbit warren, and you can pick a topic and a subject because I've pointed you in that direction with this thought, and you know your life and how many you do. How many thoughts are going to your head? Well, they said they were going to do this, and they haven't done it, so therefore, and then the lies and the devil's images come in. And we start getting upset or freaking out, if I could put it that way, about these things that come. Then the second lie is lies of cultural influence. Lies that we subscribe to because we don't understand what's going on. And the big heading under that is doctrines of postmodernism that open the door to universalism. Few of those. Denial of the authority of Scripture. When we deny, no, they're just nice stories. A relative truth, not an absolute truth, which means everybody gets to decide what their truth is. and we set aside the truth, Holy Spirit says He will come and guide us and lead us into truth. I think I said, I can't remember the verse now, when Jesus says, I am the truth. He says, your word is truth. I think it was John 14 verse 7. We said, and then we have those who now espouse the denial of hell. There is no hell. It's just a state of your mind, and somewhere you're not going to go one day if you do not follow Jesus Christ. Evangelism, missions are replaced by pluralism. Well, what do you mean by that? Because there is no relative truth, all beliefs must be given equal weight and considered valid. Well, it means that any form of truth or any kind of religion that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, as the scripture says, we have to give it equal value. And that leads to syncretism, which means let's just all coexist. Let's all just bless each other and let's all just live together. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, and the folly of the fool is deception. That's why we have to be on guard duty, so that we guard our minds against lies. Second one, guard your mind against fear. This is a huge one for us as humans. People who become fearful, I dare say there are people here who are fearful about everything. I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of the other, I'm afraid. But I'm also talking about that crippling, paralyzing fear. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes I've been in such a situation that I'm paralyzed with fear. I don't know what to do next. And then we just sit on it and we don't know what to do. And we go, and things that cripple us and paralyze us. You see, in Jeremiah 6:24, it describes the army that's coming against the Israelites. And they say, they come against them, and the fear, it says, in the scripture says, the fear has gripped them that their hands hang limp at their sides, helpless as a woman in labor. Now, I don't know how helpless that is, but you ladies will know what I'm talking about. When you're giving birth to a baby, you're just giving birth, you're helpless. You're in that situation. It's not like, well, let's just get up and go somewhere else now. But this is not what I'm talking about for the spirit. It's not of the flesh. Corinthians says, our weapons of divine power to destroy strongholds of fear. I want to encourage you today. Think about those things. We can pray for you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. The enemy starts with the lie, develops it into fear, and once we are fearful and we're not sure, too sure about everything else, he comes up and says, let's step into temptation. Like everything, it starts with a thought. I just want to say it's easier to deal with sin at the embryonic stage, the stage where the thought is just forming, than when we get to the action side of it. So when you see that coming, we need discernment. We need to take that divine power, our weapons of the Word of God and of prayer, and deal with that saying, and Lord Jesus, I don't want that thought in my head. I told you when I first got saved, I used to go to church, and during worship, I used to get every other kind of thought in my head. I'm like, why am I thinking about that stuff? That's got nothing to do. I'm in church. I'm worshiping a king. So I used to make a practice of coming to church, and as they started to do the singing part of worship, I would close my eyes. I wouldn't look at anybody around me. I would have a picture of Jesus, the empty cross in front of me, and I would sing the songs. I learned the words, so I didn't have to look at them. And I would keep my mind clear. And eventually the enemy left me alone. But we know that we have to be on guard against that. Develop a high sense of discernment. Know that the enemy has plans for you. Even when Jesus was tempted, I think in the book of Luke, and he says, and Jesus goes through and he says, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then the scripture says, and the devil left him until another time. Well, he's got the victory. I'm just going to go and give up, and I'm going to try somebody else now. No, he's going to lull you and come along with his schemes. And we shouldn't be lulled and lured to sleep of his wily schemes. Matthew 26:40, Jesus says to his disciples in the garden, he says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And it's like we should watch and pray. Keep one eye at least open. Don't like, oh good, and forget about everything around you. Keep one eye open. Watch and pray. Word of God. Keep our eyes open. Pay attention because our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. Number four. Guard your mind against negativity. Often we say, you know, we come along, we're so clever. So, Alan, is your glass half full or half empty? Don't respond. Or, you know, so, because now we're trying to see if you're optimistic or pessimistic and how you're feeling and how you, oh, sorry, and how your emotions are doing. As a child of God, we are not victims, we are victors. I think that came through today. We should be saying, my glass is neither half full, neither half empty. My glass, my cup is full and running over. That's what we should be saying. I said, I'm neither. I'm not half full, I'm not half empty. I'm full and running over. And I'm declaring the goodness of God. Guard your tongue with negative pronouncements and statements. Remember last week with Bambi and Thumper? You can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Instead of groaning and moaning and whining, choose to be that positive influence. Only you have the control over your emotions. Well, as I said, the altitude of your attitude and your mood swings, that belongs to you and you alone, and to me and me alone. Psalm 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. This is David writing. He's speaking to himself. And you know what he's saying? Hey! Emotions, why are you so cast down? Hey! Mood swings, why are you behaving like this? Stop it now, because I hope in God and I will praise Him. You say, well, do we self-talk or do we just trust in Jesus? No, all of it. Because we have to sometimes just lift ourselves up. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The story of Ziklag, we know it so well. And he's saying, oh, why are you downcast, my soul? I'm going to hope in the Lord. He's doing some self-talk here, getting himself ready for some battle that's going on and raging within him. As we come to the end, we need to choose the right thought direction. And these are just something to help us from a practical point of view. Number one, choose positive thoughts. Mark, you don't know my situation. No, you're right. Most times I don't. But then you also don't know mine. That's okay. We can stand together. We can positive Philippians 4, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I'm strengthened by Jesus. I'm feeling down, but I'm going to think a positive thought. I'm going to rise up above it. Sometimes we're too afraid to think positively. Well, last time I did that, I got hit on the head, and now my hope is gone, and I'm too afraid to hope in case I get hurt again. Can I just burst a bubble? Between now and eternity, everyone in this room, you're going to get hurt somewhere along the line. Truth. Reality. Well, if I hope and I set my hopes up, if I put my expectations out there, things might go wrong. Yeah. But then, things could also go really well for you. Things might actually happen in a great way for you. Things might actually be working for you in favor that you can stand on and say, you know, when Jesus was going along and John the Baptist, John was showing him around, he gets to Nathanael, and Nathanael says to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yeah, his name was Jesus. You know, he was too afraid to hope. He was too afraid to go down the road. You see, well, I might get disappointed. Yeah, no, you might get disappointed. Think positive. this thing's going crooked on me. Choose encouraging thoughts. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When you get yourself into situations where you think, I'm going off track here. I don't think it happened to anybody here. I was sanctified. I was saved. I was gracious. I was glorious. Until somebody cut me off on the road. Something inside came out. And in those days we didn't have cell phones, but if I took a selfie, I'm sure I'd see little horns sticking up. And in the back, a little tail sticking up, waving in the back. Road rage. When we think encouraging thoughts. And I know one time, much to my disappointment, you don't cut me off. And I chased this guy through the traffic and we stopped the thing. And he looked at me and I went, ah! And he said, I'm so sorry. I felt an idiot. Because I'd driven like a fool. I'd chased this guy. Man, and he just made a mistake. And he's like, I'm sorry. And I went, okay. Sometimes just think encouraging thoughts. Just think. That guy might have just had some bad news and he's trying to get somewhere quickly. And he dared to cut you off. We don't know his situation or her situation. Choosing 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love bears all things. Believe all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Is it easy? No. Is it right? Yes. We're not waging a war against flesh. We're overcoming by the Spirit of God. It's just practical helps. Handles, we call them. Grateful thoughts. Choose grateful thoughts. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Hebrews 12:8. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Just think about that. I know we know we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, we're brought into the kingdom of light, and I know we're thinking about all the other things we're grateful. I'm grateful for my house, I'm grateful for my car, I'm grateful for my this or that, whatever. You know, when I was a kid, sometimes I used to moan a lot. My mother always had these most amazing sayings. I was, you know, why'd you say that? And I'm not cool. About my shoes. Used to complain about my shoes till I saw a man who had no feet. Reality check. Yeah, and some people have nicer homes than we do. Praise God. We learn to rejoice in their good fortune and their prosperity. And their helpfulness. And some people have whatever, whatever. There's always somebody that's going to have something better than you and me. And our heart is to learn to rejoice in that for them. I told you the story about, I don't know, maybe I did or didn't, Bob Mumford. Many years ago, whenever he went on a trip, he'd come home, he had three sons. He used to bring them all the same little car, 1, 2, 3 cars. And then the kids would fight over the cars. So, but you got a blue one and a blue one and a blue one. You know, no, but that's my blue one. And a friend said to him, you must teach your kids that the world is not fair. He said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, when you go on your next trip, bring only one kid a toy back. He said, what? He said, well, teach your children to rejoice in their brother's fortune. And I know some of the moms are freaking out right now going, well, Mrs. Mumford freaked out the first time. Little Johnny was ecstatic because he got a nice little car or whatever. And his two brothers were sulky and upset. And Mrs. Mumford was even more upset. And they said, no, rejoice in what your son, your brother has got. And then the next time he brought the next son something, and then the other time. Eventually the kids used to wait at the door, wondering who he brought the gift to so they could rejoice in their brother's good fortune. And Mrs. Mumford also came around. I know that's extreme measures, but we've got to too learn to be grateful for what we have. Be thankful for everything we have. Choose powerful thoughts. Let's not be weak and anemic Christians. Yeah, I think A.W. Tozer said, we're like weak, anemic flowers melting or wilting along the roadside. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Just like that one in Hebrews, we have been taken out of darkness into light. Have we got the magnitude of how grateful we are for that or can be for that? Are we grateful for the magnitude of that Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit living in me is greater than everything in the world that can come against me? Everything that come and try and vain imagination, lofty opinions, all those things I spoke about in the beginning. We have a greater in us than he that is in the world. Romans 8, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We didn't just make it. You know, as more than conquerors, it means that we got to share in the spoils of the battle. There when Jesus won the battle, he came and he shared the spoils with us because we were victors and conquerors with him in Christ Jesus. Not of our own doing. I said to me, not of our abilities. Not of our smarts, but because of him and what he has done. Be encouraged to your expectant factor, or the miracle factor, a radical Christianity. We always talk about having a radical Christianity, something we can live for. To the young people, and to the older people, and everyone in between. How about we have a radical Christianity that we're really, really, really willing to die for? Oh, no, that's not such a good one. I watched a documentary the other day on that shooting those terrorists in that mall, the Somalian terrorists in that mall. And they walked up and said to the one woman, stand up. She said, are you Christian or Muslim? And she said, I'm a Christian. They said, fine. Shot her and killed her on the spot. He said to another person, he was lying there praying. He said, oh, you're praying, you're a Muslim. He said, yeah, Allah Akbar. He says, okay, you can go. What would we say? Yeah, I was, as kids, we always used to dream about when Jesus returns. I'm going back into the 70s now. And we used to think about what would happen if a bunch of soldiers marched to the door and got us all up here and went through all of us and asked us to deny Jesus Christ. I have a friend who that happened to. Some of you know him. Henny Cato and his son. They were in some African country. And they were giving out Bibles and preaching. And they were arrested. And they took them and said, no, 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 you're spies from South Africa. They said, no, we're not. We're missionaries. We're here to preach the gospel. They said, no, no. Talk about the last minute. Him and his son, who was 16 at the time, they were standing, and there was a firing squad in front of them. And they were about to shoot them. And his son said to him, Dad, what are we going to do? He says, today we will see Jesus, my boy. And as they were about to shoot them, the call came in and said, no, 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 we just checked these guys out. They actually are missionaries. Let them go. How close do you want to get? Think powerful thoughts. And of course, the most important one. Choose God thoughts. Isaiah 26:3 in the ESV says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In the Amplified version, the noisy version, You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. If you still go and read Isaiah 26, it says, starts off and it says, we have a strong city. It's like saying we have a strong church, a corporate view of what he's talking about. Gets to verse 3 of 26, and he's talking about an individual person. Says his mind is stayed on you. Just think about it. God's mind is stayed on you. He has you in thought. Not just us together, not just all the churches all over the world gathering today, but individuals. He has them, each one of us, on his mind. The question is, are you waiting for God? Is your mind starved of God, or is it nourished by God? All these different thoughts that we've got here, positive thoughts, encouraging thoughts, grateful thoughts, powerful thoughts, God thoughts. Is your mind guarded and stayed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith? Are we going to think these wonderful thoughts? Are we going to be a positive people, cup full, overflowing, going out beyond these four walls? That's what we should be doing. Going out, touching our workplaces, touching our schools, touching our neighborhood, touching our neighbors, touching the lady and the guy in the grocery store, the pharmacy, wherever you might go, wherever you are. Don't wait, well, God will come to me. No, that's going back to that other thing we talk about, self-centered stuff. We come before God. He loved us first. We just remember that. And then we loved him. But it doesn't mean, well, because you came and now I've got to wait for God to come to me. No, let's approach God. So we did so beautifully in the worship this morning. Approached his throne room of grace. Approached him. Coming to him. Offering ourselves to him. Living sacrifices. I just closed my eyes and I listened for a moment. And it sounded like there were like over 1,000 people worshiping here this morning. I just closed my eyes and shut off from the voices around me. And I just thought, man, it sounds like there's 1,000 people in here worshiping God. I don't know where the extra emphasis came from, but we can guess. That was just me. That was just what I felt. So this morning, if you feel that you need to guard your mind against lies or against fear or temptation, negativity, if you're sick in your body, we want to pray for you. And so we're just going to say, I'm just going to close now. And if you want prayer, we'll pray for you. Just come up and let's just spend some time praying. For those of you who say, I'm good, and you go and enjoy some good coffee. And just Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. Father, help us to direct our thoughts in accordance to your word. Not in areas where we think is a good idea. We want God ideas, God thoughts, Lord. Father God, we want to have our minds stayed on you just like yours has stayed on us, Lord. Father God, we want to live in the liberty and the freedom and the abundant life. We're expectant for change in our lives, in our hearts and our minds, Lord. Father God, we thank you that we will not forsake the thought of radicalness and miracles, signs and wonders, and your work, Holy Spirit, as you guide us and lead us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.